Hi, y'all. This is Erica. I want to welcome you back to the Wandering Mother Trucker podcast and apologize for not having any episodes in a while. Life's kind of run away with me, and life on the road is pretty hectic, and in all honesty, I didn't really want to subject y'all to making a podcast on the road with all the road noise. And usually by the time you stop at the end of the day, all you want to do is take a shower and go to sleep. But we've been traveling a lot this summer, and we've been all over the place and enjoyed some of it and some of it not so much. I can honestly say that if I don't ever go back to California, it'll be too soon. It's just not one of my favorite states personally. Nothing against some of y'all people, but then again, there are some of y'all that live there in California that not exactly the nicest people in the world, that's for sure. And I don't know. In my opinion, California has gone downhill with the influx of homeless people, and you know, a lot of them, they can't help it, and I feel really bad for them. But it's just got really bad over there, and I had to take a load there at the beginning of the summer up by Santa Rosa, and it was one of those trips where you cross the state line and you get in, you drop your load off, and you get the heck out of there. It's gotten pretty bad. I know I stopped at Wesley, California, spend the night one night, and I told y'all that I'd do a few reviews here and there over little things and places and restaurants and hotels. Well, I'll give you a quick rundown on the Motel 6 in Wesley, California. Do not stay there. If they fix it up in the next couple years, it might be all right, but that place is trashy. There is trash everywhere. There is run-down, broken cars sitting in the parking lot that I'm assuming the owners are going to try and fix up. And the hotel room, I'm thinking they gave me the nicest one they had, which is kind of scary because the bathroom mirror was just leaning up against the wall. They had the dresser drawers wouldn't even shut. Half of them were falling off. I think they actually pulled it from a dump somewhere. The bed wasn't bad. That was about all I could say. You kind of made you a little skeptical to stay in it, but one thing that kind of cracked me up was the little tree car air freshener stuck all in the vents to make it smell good in the air conditioner. But I will tell you one thing, and I am not being prejudiced at all, but it was run by some folks from India. They were really nice folks too. But that entire outside of that place smelled like a curry fart. I'm sorry to say that, but it did. And the only reason I know what that smells like is we were in a hot tub. My husband and I went on a cruise, and we were in a hot tub on the cruise ship with a family from India, really nice folks. And every one of them left except their son, who had gas. And oh dear God, it was horrible. But once he left, everything went back to normal. But that whole outside of that hotel, I can't explain it any more than that. It was terrible. It was trashy. It was run by some pretty nice folks. I don't know if they had just bought it and were in the process of fixing it up, or I honestly don't know, but I wouldn't recommend staying there anytime soon. But anyways, aside from that, we've been to some pretty nice places this summer, and we're leaving in the morning to head to up and grab a load out of Indiana and head down to South Carolina. All of our loads come out of Indiana. What we do is my husband and I haul bumper pull and fifth wheel travel trailers from the manufacturers in Indiana all over the United States to dealerships. So it's really enjoyable, and we just put a sleeper on my truck. It was a day cab. We just put a sleeper on it right before summer started, and still got a little few kinks to work out here and there, but it's pretty enjoyable. A little rough riding, though. I think we're going to have to install some airbags on that thing, because you hit a bump or a pothole and your butt comes off the seat. So it can get pretty bad. It'll definitely jar you. If you're a woman that's well endowed, wear a bra, or you will have black eyes. So anyways, and I'll tell you what, when it comes to roads, I do not know how half of the trailers that we pull out of there make it to the destination inside in one piece. I'm surprised the TVs don't fall off the walls, that the trim in the campers don't fall off. I'm surprised anything's left of it by the time we get through there, because Indiana and Illinois have some of the worst roads I have ever seen. And I live in a little bitty town in Texas that everybody that drives through this town looks drunk, because they're bobbing and weaving and dodging potholes. My daughter's 15 years old and is learning to drive. Well, she hasn't got her permit yet. We'll be getting that here in about a month. So she's learning to drive out here in our little town. When I say town, we have a post office and two churches. That's it. We have nothing else. No stores, nothing. I think they're in the process of building one, but they're taking their sweet time, definitely. So anyways, this town that we live in is got, the potholes are so bad that when she gets out on a regular road, she's probably going to bob and weave everywhere, because she's gotten pretty good at dodging potholes. So, and I'll tell you what, I'll be honest with you, the city is going to come into a big mess if they don't get something done, because I imagine quite a few people are getting tired of replacing the front ends and their shocks and struts on their vehicles every 6 months. It is that bad out here. I think, in my personal opinion, I think just if you can find someone that knows how to run a blade and does a good job, just tear up all the asphalt roads and just keep with dirt, because I think you'd be better off is how bad it is. But aside from that lovely mess out there, that truck, I swear, sometimes when I go through there, I think my sleeper's going to fall off my truck. But I do know that when you go up to a lot of your northern states, when we're hauling, they've got toll roads. Yeah, we have some in Texas, and there's in Oklahoma and things like that, but a lot of your interstates in Indiana and Illinois, you've got toll roads. I'm really wondering what in the world these folks are doing with the money that they get from those tolls, because they're damn sure not fixing the roads. But so anyways, we'll be leaving in the morning. My husband's out there right now, just dropped a load off south of Dallas, and he took my stepson with him, and they've been having a ball. It was his first time to go out. But we'll leave in the morning and head up there on those lovely roads. You'll be back there sleeping in the sleeper and hit a bump and bang your head on something or your hip. I tell you, it's pretty bad up there. But everything aside, we really do enjoy it. And we do get to see a lot of country. And this fall, I think I'll be coming to you in October from the sounds of it. We'll be coming to you from Indiana. We're homeschooling our kids this year for the first time. My son had missed some school, and he because of a illness in our family, so he had to miss a little bit of school, and we picked up his homework. And at the end of the week, he said, "Mama, will you homeschool me?" And I asked him why, and he said, "Because I actually understand what you're teaching." And I told him, I said, "Well, son, it's the same. We're doing your schoolwork." And he said, "Yes, but the way you put it to me, I can actually understand what they're talking about." So he really wanted to be homeschooled. And my daughter was a little skeptical about it. And I talked to her about it, and she decided she was going to give it a whirl. So we're going to try homeschooling this year. And so the kids will get to see some different places. And when depending on what they're studying in history, you know, we plan on trying to take them to the different things that Civil War, for example. Maybe would like to take them to Vicksburg, Mississippi. Vicksburg, Mississippi. and go to one of the parks down there, the military park, and actually let them see it. Because when you learn things, my opinion is that when you learn things in a book, if you had a great imagination, that's all fine and dandy. You can picture it and kind of get an idea of what it was like. But when you're learning things and you can actually go to the places that history has happened and historical battles, anything like that, it really puts it into perspective. When I went to Vicksburg Military Park on spring break in March, I just took a little week road trip by myself around the state of Louisiana, and I went by Vicksburg and drove around. It took me 3 hours, and that was driving. A lot of people were walking. I guess they spent the whole day there, but you can drive around it and stop and look at the different markers, and they have signs. Well, they have markers in different areas where different little battles were fought, and they have markers dividing the Union and Confederate armies, red and blue, on the field, so you can see where the battles were fought, where the Union Army and the Confederate Army came from and fought different battles. And it was a very neat park. And if you get a chance to go out there, if your children are learning about the Civil War, take them there. I know that's not the only place the Civil War was fought at, but it is a very interesting park. I traveled all the way through there. I started up in northern Louisiana, leaving from Texas. I went across over to Monroe and down through Vicksburg, and I just made a big loop all the way to Lafayette and back up to Natchitoches and everything like that. But I'll give you a few reviews on a few places that I stayed and restaurants I've eaten at. So if you decide to take your family on a trip like that, you will have some pretty good ideas of fun things to do with them. And I'll talk to you about that when I return. Thanks. Hi, y'all. Welcome back. And before the break, I was telling you that I had gone on a little Louisiana sightseeing adventure during spring break. And I really enjoyed myself. And I was only gone for about 5 days. And I can tell you that 5 days is not near enough to venture around Louisiana. It was a little bit of a rush trip, but I really did enjoy it. When I started out, I went to, I don't know, people from Texas may have heard of it, but it's not very well known, but there's a place near Marshall, Texas, which is between Dallas and Shreveport, Louisiana, and it's called the Old Stagecoach Road, or the Marshall Stagecoach Road, and it leaves out of the town of Marshall, Texas, off of I-20, and kind of goes northeast. It's an old dirt road that goes northeast into up towards Louisiana. And what it originally, it was a transportation road between Marshall, Texas to Shreveport, Louisiana. And it was primarily used during the Civil War. And it was also a roundabout way for folks to get down to New Orleans. And right that road, it parallels Highway 43. So if y'all ever decide to go up there and drive it, it's north of Highway 43 over outside Marshall. And I will tell you what, it is eerie. Supposedly it's haunted. Now, the only thing I saw was a family full of hogs. And they were just the cutest things ever. Little baby hogs and everything. I didn't see anything. But I'm a big skeptic when it comes to hauntings. I'm kind of one of those people, I'll believe it when I see it. Or if you can prove it to me,
or if it happens to me, then yeah, I'll believe it. Well, as I was driving down that road, I had stopped and got out and was taking pictures of an old rundown, it might have been a house at one time or barn. I love taking pictures. And this road was a good place to do it. You could see where in some areas there were banks where the stagecoach and wagons had worn down the ground in the hills. And so you're driving in between hills that could be about 10 foot high with tree roots growing out of them. And sadly, people have graffitied them and things like that. But it's still a really beautiful area to go to. And it is very eerie. I don't even remember how long it took me to get down all the way down that road from one end to the other. But I was the only person on that road. I never saw another person the whole time I was there. But I had stopped to take some pictures of this old, like I said, house, barn. I'm not really sure what it had been at one time. And as I was taking pictures, I heard a baby crying off in the woods. And there was no houses around that area. And it was the eeriest, I mean, it just gave me goosebumps. It was the eeriest thing. And needless to say, I got back in my car and decided to keep going. Because it did kind of put the stand the hair on end and everything. And there's been stories of people having some of the similar experiences that I had just heard. It was haunted, but I didn't really know any backstories to it. After I'd gone down that road and I stopped for the night, I did a little bit of research on that road, and I didn't find exact history accounts because I didn't delve too much into my research, but a woman from Kilgore, Texas, her and her friends had taken their Jeep down it, and there was an older woman, and they didn't have any children with them, they didn't have any children at all. And that road is a pretty dusty road if it hasn't rained recently. Luckily, it had rained not too long before I went down it. So, but it's typically pretty dry and dusty. And after they had gone down that road, and they had stopped somewhere a couple times going down the road. And when they got back to town and decided to wash their Jeep and get the dust off of it, there was a handprint on the back window of a very small child. So, and she had stated there was no way that for that to have gotten on there because they didn't stop anywhere else where there were children present. So, and that's just one account of strange happenings. There's been pictures of people have posted of that that road and things like that. And I imagine that a lot of people some people may have perished out there at some point in time in history. But it is a very neat road to go down. It's very pretty. It's quiet, secluded. It's a very peaceful drive. If you don't hear babies crying back in the background. Well, after I went there, I decided to drive on a little bit further into Louisiana, and I found a state park that I stayed in that night. It's Lake Claiborne State Park in Louisiana. It's north of I-20 over by Homer, Louisiana. I would highly recommend going there. The lake is beautiful. They have a nice sandy beach with a swimming area. They have an amphitheater for presentations. They have visitor center. Shower houses. The campground is gorgeous. It was raining and sprinkling and kind of foggy when I was there. It was really beautiful. Trees everywhere. Very quiet. Very peaceful. I would highly recommend that place. But it was the Lake Claiborne State Park. And the next day after I went there, I had talked to some local people, and they said, head down to Gibbsland, Louisiana, if you like, you know, history and different things. Well, they had the Bonnie and Clyde Ambush Museum in Gibbsland. It was a former restaurant back when Bonnie and Clyde were making their rampage, or whatever you want to call it, through the South into Arkansas, Louisiana, and Texas. And they had stopped at what is now the museum, which was, like I said earlier, a former restaurant. They stopped and they actually knew what their meal was. They had ordered a BLT and a peanut butter and jelly sandwich and had taken it to go. And right outside of Gibbsland, there is a marker on the side of the road that the local authorities had hidden in the trees off to one side of the road. And as Bonnie and Clyde drove up the road, they ambushed them and killed both of them. It's sad. It's a really kind of sad thing and a sad place to be, because they were so young. But at the same time, they kind of brought it on themselves with some of the things that they did in the life that they chose to live. But the Bonnie and Clyde Museum is really neat. There are pictures. They've got a replica of the car. How many times, and it's marked with every bullet hole that had hit the original car, which they do not have in the museum. But they have movies and pictures and the history, whole family history of their mother, father, you name it. You can find out a lot about their life that they lived and how they died. And there are a few, if you bring kids there, there are a few graphic pictures that you might not want to let the youngins see. So, but it's kind of one of those things. That's what happened to them. They chose that life, and that's how it ended up. And I feel very bad for their family. But it is a very interesting museum to go to. It really is. And I drove out down the road to the marker, and you can just kind of see it. You know, you find out what they did in their history and the things that they had done and who was involved. And then you go out there and you see where they met their end. And it kind of just puts it all into perspective. You know, this is where they had their last meal. This is where they ended, their lives were ended. And I don't even know how to describe it. It is a very sobering place to go. It just makes you think. It really does. And it does make you feel very sorry for their family. But anyways, on from that, a little bit of sadness there. But I went there and I stayed there for a little while. Went to Monroe, Louisiana, home of, what is it, Duck Dynasty. Well, I didn't stop by their place out there. But, like I said earlier, before the break, I went to I stayed in Vicksburg, at the Super 8 there out in Vicksburg. That's actually a really nice hotel. The lady behind the desk was just the sweetest woman. She helped answer any questions you can imagine. Told me, oh, they've got a great buffet down at the casino down there on the river, wherever, I can't remember the name of it, but she said they've got a great buffet down there, and there's a shuttle that'll come, because it's hooked to the casino, so they've got a shuttle that'll come pick you up. And it was a really clean hotel, very nice. Very nice employees. And all I really did in Vicksburg for the most part was just go to that military park, but it took all day. So if you plan on going to that area, you want to go to Vicksburg, I suggest staying more than just one night and leaving the next day, because I know there was a lot more there to see and do. I just knew I didn't have the time to do it all. And honestly, I really didn't expect to spend that much time at the at that military park. But I'm a big history buff. I absolutely love history. As I had said before, I'm been working on getting my nautical archaeological degree, and so yes, I love history. So, and after there, I went down, I left and headed south out of Mississippi back down into back into Louisiana, and there is a road that goes, it actually starts up in Tennessee, but I got on it from Vicksburg going down, and it goes all the way down to Natchez, Louisiana, and it's called the Natchez Trace Parkway, and it starts, yeah, it starts up in, oh shoot, what is the name of that town? Anyways, it starts up in Tennessee and goes all the way down there. It is gorgeous. It is a beautiful drive. Trees, rivers. They have campgrounds all through there, and it's a part of the and run by the National Park Service. So I went down there and stopped in Natchez, and ended up staying the night down in Baton Rouge. That was kind of a get in late and just go to sleep and get back on the road the next morning. Didn't really do much. There's, like I said, I didn't get to spend near enough time doing the things I wanted to do. And I did stop in Lafayette and absolutely loved Lafayette. There is a place down there that I highly recommend you take. If you're in that area, take your kids or just go there by yourself, whatever. It's called Vermilionville. And what they've done is they've taken all of these older Cajun houses and Creole houses from all around the area that were falling down or in need of repair. And they've actually taken them and put them on a truck, or taken them apart, put them on trucks, and brought them to Vermilionville. And then reassembled them if they needed to, fixed them back up to the original way that they looked. And they've opened it for guests. You go in, you buy a ticket, and they have a restaurant in there that makes authentic Cajun food. And I am a sucker for Cajun food, Creole, you name it, Cajun Creole, I love it. Gumbo, jambalaya, po' boys. And they had one of the best po' boys I have ever had. After I got home, I messed around in the kitchen until I recreated it. And my kids fell in love with it. It was the first time they'd ever had shrimp po' boys. And they love them. But they have, it's really reasonably priced as far as their restaurant and everything like that. But they have this whole area is set up. It's just a town. It really is. It's a town inside of a town, and it's fenced off. It's beautiful. Flowers everywhere. You just walk all through here, all through the area, and in at different times on some weekends or during different time periods, they have people that volunteer and come out and dress up in the period clothing of the time. They had one lady that was in there with a huge spinning wheel making yarn out of wool, just making yarn. And she had been working on a loom, and she had been working on that for like 6 months, and making a rug. And she was wearing the authentic time period clothing. They had trappers' cabins. They have a church. That you name it. They've just got, it's just a whole town. And the people, they have a man out there. He is a local Creole man that plays, his family has been living in that area for a very long time. And he was out there playing the fiddle, and I absolutely loved it. I have been playing since I was 6 years old. And after I got older and had kids, it's kind of slowed down some. I can still pick it up and do okay with it, but I started playing fiddle when I was 6. And so I just sat there and listened to him. I just really enjoyed it and enjoyed walking through all the houses and seeing the old, all of the old period furniture, clothing, toys. They even had something that I had honestly never seen. It was a wreath. It was actually quite beautiful. It was a little eerie, but it was really beautiful. It was a wreath made out of human hair. It's from whenever they had cleaned out their brushes. They would make these wreaths with flowers and make it like kind of to hang on a wall. But they had one in a display case that it was made out of human hair, which is kind of icky, but anyways, I did find out that they would spend so much time making these wreaths, but they would leave the top of it open, and they would never close the top of this wreath off until the person whose hair it was made from passed away. And once that person passed away, they would use their hair and close off that wreath and display it and have dried flowers and ribbons and things like that hung with it, which I knew nothing. I had never seen one of those before, but I would highly recommend Vermilionville to anyone that likes history. I plan on taking my kids back there either in a summer or two. They also had a little, and the kids that were there absolutely loved it. My boys would get a kick out of it. They had an old, it was a replica of a ferry that you pull across with ropes. They had a little bitty lake out there, a little pond, and it had ropes from one side to the other, and you'd get on it and pull and pull and pull and pull yourself across the other side. I know once we got there, my boys would probably never leave that thing. They'd just go back and forth for hours. But that is a very interesting place, and I do definitely recommend that. I can't wait to take the kids back there. But also outside of Lafayette is the, I can't honestly promise you I'm saying this right. It's the Atchafalaya Basin, which is a very large river that runs down on east of Lafayette. And I decided I'd never been on a airboat, so I decided I was going to take a swamp tour on an airboat. And I went through the basin, it's called the Basin Landing, is the company that I went to, and those were the sweetest people. They have a little gift shop down there when you get there, and he'll take you out on the airboat. The older gentleman that ran it, he took us out on the airboat. We were out there for, I want to say, a good 2 hours, just driving around, seeing everything. We went underneath I-10 as we were going, and there's a couple alligators out there that he's made friends with, I guess you could say, but he feeds them. He takes chicken pieces and stuff, and we'll go out there, and you can feed the, he'll let you feed the gators. And it was really neat. They were pretty small. I was surprised. I guess they said that the bigger ones hadn't really had a chance to come up yet, so because it was still too cold in the season. But it was really neat, and it was beautiful. I decided that I wanted to build me a little bitty shack, a floating shack in the bayou, and move out there and
That's my kind of area. I can go and sit on my front porch and fish and just enjoy the weather and enjoy the water and catch fish while I'm at it. Maybe see a crocodile or an alligator or two. But it is a really, really neat place to go. I fell in love with it. I called my husband after I was done and told him, I said, we have got to find a place out here. He said, well, I'm sure it's pretty cheap. I bet we can find something. I still hadn't found anything, but that it is a really neat place to go. It's very, very peaceful, and I love it. I want to get an airboat, and I want to get a shack, a floating shack, in the tie it to a tree, whatever I need to do, and just have me a little spot out there and just go enjoy life. It's too short to not enjoy it. But I do highly recommend the Basin Landing Airboat Swamp Tours, though. They're very nice people, and they'll make sure you get to see the area. They'll tell you a little bit of history on the area and about the different things. I've got my cat visiting me right now. Koozie, quit. Get off the phone. Go. Shoo. Sorry. But anyways, I've talked y'all's ear off enough today, so I hope you enjoyed the show, and I will see you next time. Y'all have a good day. Good evening, folks. I'd like to add a little bit onto the end of my podcast, if you don't mind. I'd like to give my deepest sympathies to our good close friend Shane and his wife Lisa and kids. He lost his mother on August 1st, and we had her funeral today. Marianne was a very kind-hearted, loving woman that loved her grandkids, loved her kids and friends and family, and no one could ever say a bad word about that woman. She was just amazing, and I loved her very, very much, and so did my children, and she will be deeply missed. So please keep his family in your thoughts and prayers. Thank you.